time to take a ride on the MCD.
It's the Modern Christian Dudes Podcast. Dudes talking to you, sports and God. It's Jeremiah Johnson. We are coming to the epic conclusion of our Sin Management Bible Study series. This has been a lot of fun because we typically are talking news, sports, God, those kind of things with Funko Pro Greg Walden. But we kicked Funko Pro Greg Walden out on this one, and we invited some new people, some fresh blood into the MCD podcast. So it's been really, really good. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. And I want to encourage you guys that you can share it with another dude, another guy, and I think they will get something out of it. Don't you, Sam?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So this is just going to be a duo. It's going to be very special. My future son-in-law, Sam Swift, so we figured we'd have a special bonding moment on this last one. Oh. Right, Sam?
Yes, sir.
I can only imagine someday. I'm now the father-in-law. Like, that's a weird feeling, you know?
In Espanol, the, like, es suegro.
So anyway, I know I'm not your dad, and I'll never be your dad, Sam, but I am your father-in-law now. So anyway, and I hope I'll be a good one to you. All right, so part four of the Sin Management series, Bible study series, we can't manage sin. All right, we can't do it. But the question I want to start off with is, how have you been challenged personally, or what have you learned so far in this series? If you've joined us in the last three series, that's my question for you. Sam, you got any thoughts on that? The last couple hours we've been talking here, because we did all these. You guys might be listening to them separately, but we knocked them all out in one shot. Four podcasts right in a row, so we're going to be super tired. What have you learned, or what's your big takeaways thus far?
I think my biggest takeaway is that just knowing that we're set apart for God, you know, by God. God created us for a specific purpose, just to proclaim his name, to, you know, to defend against, you know, the schemes of the enemy. And just like, that's our calling, like that's our identity. And it's so, you know, just wrapped up in just, it basically depends where we find our identity in. Are we finding our identity in things, in pleasures, in that, or are we finding it in God? And depending where we find our identity in, it really determines like the path that we're going to take, the decisions we make, and the things that we participate in, for sure.
Yeah. I think when we're reading the Old Testament, we can kind of get bogged down with all the rules, regulations, the terminology that doesn't connect with us in some senses. Like when we're talking about Samson, being a Nazirite, the Nazirite vow, like, are we supposed to do that? What is that? You know, but what is the overall goal of all this stuff from Old Testament to New Testament? It's to be set apart and to be devoted to God. That's the point. That's why we do, hopefully, what we're doing today in our individual Christian lives. And that was the point of the Old Testament, right? Of all this stuff. It wasn't about the external stuff. It was that the external stuff was a symbolic thing, or a thing that kept you from sin and kept you closer to God, right? That's the whole point. So I don't think we're far removed from that, and that we're supposed to be Nazirite-ish in nature, that like we should have a desire to want to be fully devoted to God as followers of Christ, right? And that's what Samson was supposed to do. He didn't. So the title of this last session is called Second Chances. All right, now you're a soccer guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm an NBA guy. I am an NFL guy, and I can talk NFL. NBA, my primary sport. But a couple of illustrations I want to give you. The first one is Johnny Manziel. Have you ever heard of Johnny Manziel before?
Nope.
Johnny Football? Johnny Manziel? Well, anyway, Johnny Manziel, they've been coming out with some Netflix documentaries. Johnny Manziel in 2012 was the most popular quarterback in college football. Took the world by storm. He played for Texas A&M. He was the first he was the first freshman in history to win the Heisman Trophy. So back in that time, it was Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel. So everyone thought he was going to be, you know, like get to the NFL and just be amazing, right? Next Tom Brady, whatever it might be. Well, Johnny Manziel had a lot of problems, some substance issues, didn't know how to manage his money, and just everything crumbled in his life. And he's an example of someone who just didn't live up to expectations, you know, just didn't live up to his calling, right? You might say. And I think Samson's like that, right? That Samson is a guy who's like, did he ever really live up to what God wanted him to be and the life God wanted him to live, you know? And that's sobering, right? Because we can look at him and be like, what a loser. But I think as I think of my own life, is like, man, I hope I don't live, I know I'm not perfect. I know I've made mistakes. I know I lived a section of my life without Jesus. But it's kind of like, I hope I'm not Samson in that I get to the end of my life and just being like, man, I wasted my talents, my abilities.
Right.
And I just used them for myself.
Yeah.
You know, a tragic story. So Johnny Manziel is an example of a tragic story. But then there's great stories, like second chance stories. And the one I pulled up, and maybe this isn't relative to you either, but there's a quarterback named Matthew Stafford. Have you ever heard of Matthew Stafford?
Yes.
So he played for the Detroit Lions for a long time. And he was like a good quarterback, but he was like, he would get injured, had some injury issues. And then it was kind of like, he's never going to win the big one. He's not good enough, blah, blah, blah. And so he gets traded to the LA Rams. Mm-hmm. And in his first year with the LA Rams, he takes him to the Super Bowl. They win, Super Bowl champs. And all of a sudden, he's this great comeback story mm-hmm. of how he got a second chance and he was able to redeem that second chance. And, you know, now he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer, et cetera, et cetera. So one story, like Johnny Manziel, ended in tragedy. Another story, like Matthew Stafford, it ends in victory. So it's easy to read Samson's story because you can find yourself saying, you know, what a waste of talent. He had all the skills and abilities to be a great champion for God. But what did he choose? We've already talked about this now. He chose lust. He chose women. And he chose his own interest, right? But here's the most encouraging part. I want to encourage you guys because I think guys sometimes, well, we fail. We make mistakes. And we live in this kind of time now, at least from social media, where it's kind of scary because sometimes if you make too big of a mistake, it's like your life is over and you never get another chance. Like it crushes you forever, right? But here's the one thing I think we can all say amen to, and I hope it inspires us and encourages us today, is that God is a God of second chances, right? God's a God of second chances. So no matter what you've done, how much you failed, today's the day you can turn back to God, man. And he can redeem your life. He can change the story. He can change the script. And he can give you a second chance. So until our story on earth is over, until you're dead, he will always leave the door open for us to choose him and his ways again. So I want to look at three individuals that didn't give up in their failure. And I think you're going to, Sam, you'll know these people, but and a lot of us will. But the first one is David, King David, right? Again, known as a great champion, but had some epic failures, if you will. So we've referenced David in the series. He's known for killing Goliath. He's also known for being an adulterer and a murderer, right? So the one factor that restored David to the plans and purposes of God had for him was his willingness to repent and ask God to forgive him for his decision. So I always find that fascinating because if you read that story, which I just did in my daily Bible, is, you know, prior to him, Saul was the king, right? And Saul made mistakes too. And when I read that story, sometimes I'm wondering, like, it seems like David was more of a bad guy than Saul. But yet Saul got the kingdom stripped from him, kingship stripped from him. But then you kind of, you look into that, like, what's the difference there? You know, David did a bunch of bad stuff. Why didn't God say, okay, you're not going to be king anymore, just like he did to Saul? And I think if you really look into that, you see that the big, big difference was, is that when Saul failed, he wasn't willing to repent. Mm-hmm. And when David failed, he was willing to cry out to God once again. And this is a great prayer for us to look at for men. And I'm going to read the whole thing in Psalm 51. Because this is, if you read Psalm 51, one thing you can do to really catch the power of the story is read how David failed with Bathsheba. And what he did there in the whole story, and then go read Psalm 51. Because Psalm 51 is his, like, repentance song and cry to God for forgiveness and for a second chance. And here's what it says. It says, look on me with a heart of mercy, O God. According to your generous love, according to your great compassion, wipe out every consequence of my shameful crimes. Thoroughly wash me inside and out, all of my crooked deeds. Cleanse me from my sins, for I am fully aware of all I have done wrong. And my guilt is there, staring me in the face. It was against you, only you, that I sinned, for I have done what you say is wrong, right before your eyes. So when you speak, you are right in the right. When you judge, your judgments are pure and true. Sorry, I'm reading from a version I normally read from the NLT. That's why I'm stumbling here a little bit in the voice version. For I was guilty from the day I was born, a sinner from the time my mother became pregnant with me. But still you long to enthrone truth throughout my being. In unseen places deep within me, you show me wisdom. Cleanse me of my wickedness with hyssop, and I will be clean. If you wash me, I will be whiter than snow. Help me hear joy and happiness as my accompaniment, So my bones, which you have broken, will dance in delight instead. Cover your face so you will not see my sins and erase my guilt from the record. And this is the big one. We've heard this in songs and different kind of things. Verse 10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore within me a sense of being brand new. Do not throw me far away from your presence, and do not remove your Holy Spirit from me. Give back to me the deep delight of being saved by you. Let your willing spirit sustain me. And it goes on. And it's just a powerful prayer and cry where David, you can just hear it. You know, David realizes, like, I messed up really bad. And God, please forgive me. And don't just forgive me. I need to be changed. I need to be made new. And it's just, I love that. And I'm like a lot of people when you read that verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Yeah. That captures the heart of repentance. A clean heart, restore me with a sense of being brand new. And you know, that's what God does. If we will have that type of repentance and that type of attitude when we fail, that's something that God will honor. David realized he had epically failed. The only option he had left was to completely surrender to God. And in his repentance, the God of second chances met him again. And that's what's cool about God, man. And that's what, you know, in a world where some people think like God is just this mean, horrible, evil person. He's just chucking people into hell, you know, and he just wants to just destroy us because we're these evil people. That is not the heart of God. You know, God is a loving Father. And he continues to look beyond our sin, you know, in a lot of ways. But what's amazing about Jesus is that if you'll just come to him and surrender, he'll hear your prayers and he'll change your life. You know, and that's what he did in the life of David. He gave him a second chance. You know, God, I know in my own life, and I'm sure in David's life, he could have been like, David, David, you plotted to have someone killed. David, you took another man's wife. Like, why would I give you a second chance? But God's amazing, and God will give us a second chance. So the word I believe God gave me as I was preparing for the series, Bible studies we've been going through, and this is like my word from the Lord, if you will, but I felt like God speak to me this specifically. He said, God can work around you or through you based on your willingness to repent. So for Saul, in Saul's case, like if you go and read the story, God had to work around Saul, not through Saul.
Yeah.
So it came to the point where God was like, okay, Saul, I'm now going to move around you. That is, I'm going to bypass you. And it's interesting. I love to play the what if game. You ever love to play what if game in history, life, sports, you know, what if they would have made that shot?
Yeah.
What if, you know, I don't know. Think of whatever you can think of in this life. What if that would have happened? Your own life, you know, what if I would have went to this college instead of that? You know, what if? And the what if game is kind of interesting to play when it comes to the Bible, because we know it's already set in stone, but it's like, what if Saul would have repented? What if? Like, what if he would have just humbled his heart? What if he would have not turned to a spiritist and called upon the dead? What if he would have gave the right sacrifice? Would the lineage of Jesus came through Saul instead? Or, you know, who knows? I mean, yes, we understand God in hindsight, and God is bigger and understood it all anyway. But I always wonder about that. You know, what if he would have repented? So, but instead, because he didn't, God had to work around him. And to me, that's a big challenge for all of us, is that God doesn't have to work through you,
right,
if you're not willing to let him. If you're not willing to repent and have a repentful heart, life, attitude in your spiritual journey, God can work around you. You know, like, we're all replaceable. And I know as a pastor, I think that's one thing that we can maybe struggle with is, you know, even though church I pastor, even though we're not like some big mega church, oh man, what would this church do without me? I mean, I'm just so wonderful. And the reality is God doesn't need me. He could work around me. But if I keep an attitude of repentance, that God can always work through me. As long as I keep an attitude of repentance in my spiritual life, keep a humble heart, God can always still work through me. And so that's the big lesson we can learn as guys, is to realize, guys, yes, you may have messed up, you may have failed, but do not forget. If you'll just repent of your sin, turn to God, he'll work through you again.
Yeah.
And he even did it. We're going to see here, he even did it in Samson. So God could have moved on from David, he removed the kingdom from Saul, but because of his disobedience, the difference in this story was repentance. So a bunch of different examples. So David is like a classic example of second chances and how if we repent, God can work through us. The second one I thought we'd go to Jonah, a.k.a., as I wrote here in my notes, the fish guy. What's his story? So, like, what's the story of Jonah? Kind of summarizing it. I know we're not going into comprehensive detail here, but what was he supposed to do? He was supposed to go to Nineveh and preach repentance, right? That was his job. That was his calling. That was what he was supposed to do. What did he do? He went in the opposite direction, right, you know. Instead of going north, he went south. Instead of going south, he went blah, blah, blah. You know, he just went the opposite direction of what God told him to do. And, you know, it got so bad. You know your life is bad when God has to make you get swallowed by a fish. You know, like that's pretty bad. So anyway, like if you find yourself tonight listening to this podcast in the belly of a large fish, you should probably repent. You know, so that's how bad it is for him. And so but the beauty here again, we're going to see in Jonah, and I'm going to read his prayer of repentance. Just like David, Jonah repented. Now, it was in the belly of a whale. It was a very awakening moment for him, if you will. But he still repented to God. And I find this interesting. Jonah chapter 2, it says, "To his God, the eternal Jonah prayed from inside this great fish." You think it's a whale, by the way? Like the big controversy. Is it a whale or a large fish?
Well, you know, according to VeggieTales, it was a whale.
Yeah, true. I go with whale. I'm totally comfortable with that. But I do love the staunch theologian that, like, if you say whale, they just get all up in arms because they think you're, you know, like heretically talking about the Bible. Like, don't you know it wasn't necessarily a whale. It was a large fish. Like, okay. That's why I read that version. It's a large fish. So anyway, so Jonah begins to pray out to God here. Okay. Jonah reveals his prayer, a change of heart. He thanks God for saving him from the angry sea. With desperate cries, I beckoned the Eternal to hear, and he answered me. From the belly, the place of death, I cried out to you, and you have responded to my voice. You threw me into the watery depths and cast me into the middle of the chaotic seas. The waters closed in around me. Your waves broke over me. Your surf swelled as I sank into the depths. But then I said to you, I have driven out from you before my eyes. Still I know I will gaze again on your holy temple. The waters swallowed me. The deep abyss was covering over me. Seaweeds were wrapped around my head, trapping me as I sank down to where the mountains are rooted to the earth. I went down to the place where death's gate would lock me in forever. Yet you lifted me up from the pit. Eternal one, you are my God. Only as my life was fading away did I remember the eternal. To your sacred dwelling, your holy temple, my cries did rise to you. Those who worship worthless idols turn their backs on God and renounce their loyal love. But I will sing to you and sacrifice you with a voice filled with thanksgiving. Whatever I promise, I will certainly pay it, because deliverance is from the Eternal alone. Then the Eternal One directed the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the shore. So again, we see, you know, Jonah disobeys God, wrong direction. He's in the belly of a large fish, but he does the right thing, and that he repents. You know, he could have in that moment cursed God, died, but he decided to cry out to God. God didn't have to listen to or acknowledge Jonah because of his disobedience. But here's what I'm trying to get at in this session four, is that he's the God of second chances. He gave David a second chance. He gave Jonah a second chance. You know, he could have said, you know, Jonah, you were, it's not like you just didn't not listen. You went the other direction. You got in a boat. You willfully, you know, you know, like, it's kind of like there's sin and there's willful sin, right?
Yeah.
Sin is like, oh man, I messed up, or, you know, like, but then there's willful sin. Like, I intentionally sinned against God. I mean, this was the mode of Jonah. Willful, intentional. I'm getting in a boat. I paid the ticket. I saw the ticket. It didn't say Mexico, it said Canada. You know, I was supposed to go to Mexico. It said Canada. I know that, like, Canada is not close to Mexico. You know, there's a whole country called United States of America that divides the two, you know, kind of thing. He knew willfully, but yet, even in his prayer, God hears and he gives him a second chance. So, you know, my advice to you and to us guys is that no matter where your disobedience has brought you, aka belly of a whale, brokenness, divorce, whatever, you know, wherever disobedience has brought you. Because it could be really, it could be jail. Maybe you're listening to this from jail right now. There's some people in our church that their son is in jail right now that we've been praying for because of some things that he did that was very wrong, you know. But wherever your disobedience has brought you, God can still hear you if you'll turn from your ways and repent. You know, God wasn't like, I can't hear you through the fish's belly. You know, like he could have said that. But that's the truth we've got to grab hold of, you know, because there are sometimes like David, like Jonah, we might, hopefully not, but like we might make an epic big failure. But God is the God of second chances. And that brings us lastly to Samson. So the Nazirite vow he made and the devotion to God that should have been the driving force of his life became a distant memory. I don't even know if, like, again, when you read Samson's story, I don't know that he was ever thinking about God. I don't know that he was ever thinking about, like, he definitely wasn't waking up and saying the Lord's Prayer. You know, let your kingdom come, let your will be done kind of thing. You know, I just think we just don't see God anywhere in the process of his thinking, his relationships, his prayer, none of that. And again, he's supposed to be a Nazirite.
Right.
He's supposed to be devoted to God. And so he gets to this horrible place where with Delilah, where he, you know, shares the secret of his strength. She's just trying to get money to turn him in. He supposedly loves her. It's probably really a relationship built off lust. So finally he caves into her. Now his enemies bind him, cut his hair, loses his strength, loses all of his God-given abilities, and he's now a slave, and he's captured by his enemies. And it wasn't just like they shackled him up. They literally took his eyeballs out. They gouged his eyeballs out. He's chained, and he's literally, like, we may say this before, I'm like, that dude's a clown show, you know? Like, we're saying, like, literally he became a clown show.
Yeah.
I mean, he just wasn't, you know, chained and bound. He wasn't just a captive. Not only was he, did they gouge his eyeballs out, now he's just a clown show. Mm-hmm. He's literally a clown show that they bring out to parties and be like, let's just laugh and make fun of this guy because he's such an idiot. But if you read the Bible, you know, that Samson does something really smart. He does something that is going to teach us a great lesson here, is even in his brokenness, his stupidity, you know, his eyes are gouged out, not because of God. Not because God, it's because of him, right? And I think sometimes we don't take ownership over a sin of like, I'm here because of me, right? I'm not here because God got mad at me, or like, I'm here because of me. Yeah. And so, Samson, is in this place because of his choices, his willful disobedience. But you know what? He does something super smart. He turns to the God of second chances. He's like, maybe if I turn to God, God will hear me. And so in Judges chapter 16, 28 to 31, I know we've read this in the series, but I'll read it one more time. So Samson, crying out to the Lord, said, Lord, eternal one, remember me and fill me with strength this one last time. O true God, so that with this last act of revenge, I can pay back the Philistines for the loss of my sight. He took hold of the two main pillars of the building, the ones supporting the roof, and he leaned hard against them, his right hand on one, his left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die here with the Philistines. He pushed with all of his might. The pillars gave, the building collapsed on the rulers and all the Philistine people who were in it. The number of enemies that he killed at his death was greater than the number of Philistines he had killed during the rest of his life. Then his brothers and the rest of his family came down from the hill country and took his body back up to be buried between the towns of Zorah and Eshtol on the burial ground of his father Manoah. Samson had been judge of Israel for 20 years. So my concluding thoughts as we come to this end of this series, in particular this particular session, is I want you to remember that, you know, God hasn't forgotten you. You know, even in your brokenness, even if you have willfully lived a life that is not God-honoring, you have not lived by any means a Nazirite-type lifestyle, God hasn't forgotten you. And I also want to remind us guys that it is never too late to turn back to God. Never. I mean, again, I'm throwing out whatever it might be. It could be drugs, it could be addiction, it could be divorce, you know, whatever those things, like bankruptcy, whatever it might be that you're hearing me today as I'm talking, it's never too late to turn back to God and say, like, God, I have messed up. I failed here. Now, I do believe, you know, there's consequences to some of our failures sometimes. We can't always expect, like, guess what? Samson died. it doesn't like, God, I'm really sorry, because we're good at that as guys. We just want to be like, I'm sorry, make everything perfect again. Okay, and we can move on. But it's never too late to turn back to God. Never. You can always turn back to the God of second chances. Thirdly, here's where I'm so thankful to Jesus, is that he can still accomplish the plans that he's always had for you and for me if we will repent and turn to him. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're at the end of life, the middle of life. It doesn't matter if you willingly disobeyed God's direction. You can turn back to God today, and he can still accomplish what he set out for your life. He can still accomplish that. And that's the beauty of Samson's story, is that Samson, even though he's completely broken, says, oh God, like, I turn to the eternal one, and I ask God that you'd strengthen me one more time. Give me victory over my enemies. Because that was God's intention for his life. The intention for his life is that he'd be used in that way to bring deliverance and victory over the Philistines to God's people. And he does that. The Bible says that, right? The Bible says, like, in that one moment, he killed more Philistines than he did in his entire life. I mean, this is an epic feat right here. I use that word too much sometimes, but an epic feat here. So, but that's, man, that speaks to us today as guys, is that if we'll repent, even in our failure, if we'll repent and turn to God, he can still accomplish the plans that he has for our life. Because God does have plans for all of us as men to do great things, to do the works of God through. And so it's not over. But I conclude by just simply saying this, is that it's your choice. It's your choice. You know, God isn't going to force you to be a Nazarite. God isn't going to force you to follow him. God isn't going to force you to surrender your life and to follow his ways and follow his plans. That is your choice, right? And it's also your choice to sin. It's also your choice to disobey and to walk away from the plans and purposes that God has for you. So it's a little bit humbling. It's a little bit sobering, a little bit scary to think tonight, or it's tonight where I'm at as I'm recording this right now, but to think that all of this is really built on my choice. And God's allowed me that choice. You know, am I gonna walk in the plans and the purposes and the identity that he has for me? And all of this stuff is our choice. Am I gonna let lust be the directive of my life? That's my choice. You know, am I gonna walk in the identity that God has for me? That's my choice, you know. Am I going to compartmentalize and keep hidden things in my life that will affect me and other people around me? That's my choice. All of this is my choice. You know, Samson made some very poor choices. And it really, you know, I wish the story was different. I wish we could have read more about Samson. He was devoted to God. You know, he thwarted the Philistines. He married an amazing woman of God who was a Nazarite too. And she loved God. And they had wonderful Nazarite babies together that all loved God. You know, like, you wish there was this great story, but it's not. You know, it's a story of brokenness. It's a story of lust. It's a story of selfishness and just chasing what he wanted his whole life. And it brought him to, it was his demise. But God still, he found God in the end. You know, and that's my prayer for all of us, is like, man, God is the God of second chances. Don't ever give up. You could get to that. I haven't been to that place before, thank God. But I've never been to that place where it's like, God will never use me again. How could God love me? Why would God ever want to use me? But you know, that happens sometimes, and sometimes we might get to that place. Don't forget, you can still turn to God, and he's the God of second chances. Guys, I hope you've really enjoyed these four different sessions, that they've ministered to you in some way. We're going to get back to the traditional Modern Christian Dudes podcast. That is Dudes Talking News, Sports, and God next week. But I hope you've enjoyed this special four-part series called Sin Management. If you like it, obviously share it with someone, and didn't make this content for nothing. So we wanted to minister to as many guys as possible. So let me now close with one final prayer over this series. Father, I just thank you for this time that we've had together to talk about the life of Samson, male sexuality, some of the struggles that we have as men, the things that are coming at us in this world. And I just pray, we want to be set apart and we want to be devoted to you. We want you to be our everything, and we want to live a life for you and not for ourselves. So thank you, Lord. I bless all the men that are listening to this podcast, that they're going to grow deeper in their relationship with you, God, and they're going to walk in their identity, which is not found in a job or stuff, or it's found in their identity is found in you, in a relationship with you. So if they don't have that, I pray that they would just welcome you, Jesus, into their life. So thank you, Lord God. Bless my friends who are part of this podcast as well, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Sam Swift, as we close this out together.
Thank you, Father-in-law.
So, talk to you guys next time.
All aboard. It's time to take a